Satsang with Maitreya, October
1st, 2001. Welcome everybody to the Krishna Maitreya. I hope you're doing well. This is the Krishna Maitreya Satsang here in Krishna Maitreya. You all welcome to our room, and Krishna Maitreya welcome all of you and all the humanity. Come and hear that the religions are unified, the prophecies are fulfilled, and all answers are given, and the mystery of God is finished as He promised. When the seventh revelation comes, His mystery will be finished. And it has. Krishna Maitreya is based on the eternal divine path, it's based on the greatest sign, it teaches that the spiritual journey is started by awakening your spiritual forces. That discovers Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, Sufism, mystical Christianity, just all the saints in the Christianity, and every teaching that talks about know thyself to know God. Therefore, that is the first step. The second step is creation of the communities of light, which is taught in the Old Testament, in the whole Old Testament. God is trying to find a community based on God and His rules and acceptance of His, you know, presence in their life. Therefore, the second seal is related to Hebrews and second seal of God's revelation. But you have such a communities, you have to sacrifice, and that is what presented by Christ to humanity. He sacrificed Himself all the way for His ideal. Without sacrifice and selflessness, service with humanity, you cannot create such a communities. Therefore, the third seal or Christianity is covered also in the eternal divine path. The fourth step is to strengthen and submit yourself to God and do the job, do the work, but give the result to God. So if you want to carry the comings of life and you're successful and you sacrifice and suddenly you become very elated and egoistic and say you are the person doing it, and then you might fall again. Or you might get very upset that it's not happening and become very depressed for, you know, not happening, and then again you think you are the doer. But if you surrender and submit the result to God and say, I did my job, God, the result is yours, I'm not attached to it, then you are free. And better than that, of course, being submissive to God means that God always does things through you. So that is surrender and submission, which is Islam, that's the fourth seal. With all this progress, if you direct all your attention and your desire for the help of people to a very few communities or very part of the earth and even earth itself, then you have become narrow in your vision and yourself become universalist. And that therefore you have to work toward the betterment and goodness of the whole universe, and that is the universalism, that is the teaching of the Baha'i, therefore mystical path, which is all the religion, mystical religion like Buddhism, Hinduism, Kabbalah, Sufism, saints in Christianity are unified. Judaism or Hebrew religion or Testament is unified. Christianity is unified, Islam is unified, and the Baha'i teaching is unified all in one. If you follow the first step, you become the elect, or the people who have called, God called, those are my elect, and He has chosen them to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is the sixth seal in the greatest sign, and these are the ones that will eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and many, for those who are ready for it, will reach pure consciousness or become one with God. Therefore, this is our teaching. You have heard it. Now you know it. Our job is done. You have now to decide, really want to go and know about this teaching in much deeper, and how much you want to, you know, dedicate yourself to it. Go ahead. Hands up.
Yeah, I was just wondering who the founder is and what his background is. I heard something about him. He had no parents, and I think he appeared somewhere in the Himalayan mountains. I'm not sure if that's correct, but I was just kind of curious as to what his background is, where he came from.
Yeah, very good question, hands up. It is a confusion which has been created for the last 22 years by a gentleman from England by the name Graham. Mr. Graham has been preaching that Maitreya has built his body in Himalayas, and he has been there for 2,000 years preaching in a hidden place called Shambhala, which is absolutely not based on the scripture. It's not a scripture. If you read the scriptures, if you read the history, God has never sent his prophets like that. He always prophesied that such an individual will come on earth and he will be born from a woman. He is raised as a child, he will grow as a, you know, adult, and then he reaches a specific point in his time, his mission is revealed to him. So, but this gentleman, Mr. Graham, in 1982, came out and preached, actually from 1977, he started preaching that Maitreya will appear in 1982, in the spring of the 1982. And I started to see my revelations, and it was my mission to me from 1977 at the same period of time. And by the 1982, we were ready to reach out to humanity, and we, for the first time, printed our materials and advertised that my friend is here, and we have this wonderful, beautiful, unifying teaching for humanity to come and join us. It was then that some individual was with me, informed me that a person going around and preaching and sitting there on my trip back in 92, and he sent many people to us and found that my trip is here. Your prophecy was correct. He came in 92. But his desire to see to come, this is the unification of our religion and humanity and upliftment of the suffering and peace which eventually will come if humans don't blow themselves up and destroy themselves before that comes, is here. It is in the mission of Maitreya. It is being fulfilled. Mission of Maitreya is based on the scriptures. It fulfilled the prophecy. It is the word of God. It is based on God's revelation, and nothing is here which is not according to God's plan and how he usually does this. So, what you are talking about, I suppose, is from that organization, which I think is called Share International. So, we are, in that essence, he did preach that Maitreya didn't come in 1982, and then when he came, he didn't recognize it. Actually, you see similarity between what he did and what John the Baptist did to Christ. John the Baptist also preached that, you know, Christ is going to come, and actually he recognized it for a very brief moment at the time of the baptism, but later on he absolutely was not sure that Christ is the one that come. That's why he sent his disciple to ask him, are you really the one you are waiting for? Esther Cram has a lot of his own idea that take it as the word of God, but it is not based on the scripture. That's why you have to test the spirit. How do you test the spirit? You test the spirit by the word of God. When you go to the scripture and say, hey, this person is saying all these things, you know, is it in the scripture? Did God say that his Messiah is going to come from Tibet and build his body and said, I'm going to come in 1982, and it's 22 years later, and his feet has not showed up? What's the matter? He got caught somewhere, you know, in a traffic or somewhere that is not showing up, you know? So you have to come to that question of yourself. What happened for 22 years? So he has created a lot of confusion, although he has helped me in such a way spread the name of the Maitreya all over the world, but he has been kind of an obstacle in our path, in our work, that a lot of people are confusion that he brought to humanity. Actually, they spent around $1 billion to take, as in every city, each city in the world, proclaiming that Maitreya is going to come in 1982. But when he comes, the very person who did proclaim it did not recognize it. So, actually, there is a writing in a website called, this is written with one of the people who are with me, one of the divines. It's called How He Became Maitreya. You can go ahead and read about all about who I am, where I come from, what's my name, how I realize who I am, and why I claim what I claim, and how it's all based on this scripture. Go ahead, hands up.
You were talking about scripture. I was just wondering what scripture that was. They're talking about the Christian Bible. I know that just the welcome message was talking about the unity of all religions. So do you believe that Christianity is truth and Islam is just that true? Or if it's a scripture, do you mean the Quran as well as the Bible, or just the Bible?
Okay, if you study the revelation of the revelation in our teaching, you will recognize that according to our teaching, God was talking about the seventh revelation, which all will come through the first begotten Son, or Christ. And each of these revelations are a part of the greater truth. And in the Bible itself, in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, God clearly says, the mystery of God will finish when the seventh angel comes. Okay? And also when the seventh angel pulls the face he has in that same book, says that now it's finished, it's done. And so we can see that nobody has the truth, nobody knows the whole mystery of God until the seventh angel comes. And I don't think Christ ever claimed that he is the seventh angel. I don't think any other prophet ever claimed they are the seventh angel. And also in the Revelation chapter 5, only when the book sealed with the seventh seal was opened, that's the only place in the Bible or any scripture that the whole universe rejoices. Because it is done, it is opened, the mystery of God is finished. Therefore, anybody who brings any revelation or teaching before the seventh angel comes does not have all the truth, and that is why most of the religions have fallen into dogmas. Dogma is man-made beliefs that people follow because they think what the preacher says is the truth. Of course, many religions have been created around these teachings, and that is why we have so many separation in so many religions, including dogmas. So, what are the seven truths, seven revelations? As I explained in the greatest science, awakening of the third forces is a mystical path. It's Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Kabbalah, and all that. The second is the Old Testament, praise of the comings of life. Third is sacrifice. Fourth is Islam, surrendering of submission. Fifth is the universalism. So all these gifts of all these religions have come to us are valid and is a part of God's revelation and God's word. I know that Jewish people still say they are the chosen people, so nobody else can be chosen. But the explanation is chosen are only the elect. Elect is not a race, elect is not a religion, elect is not a name. Elect is the person who called the eternal divine path and become elect. I know Christians say we are the only way, nobody has the truth, and nobody can go to God but through me. So did Krishna said the same thing. He said, you know, if you want to go to the pure consciousness of God, you have to go through me. So did Muhammad. He said, listen to my prophet, that whatever he says, I am saying it. Same thing, that nobody goes through God, but Prophet Muhammad. So this one is really the only way. You can see that all these dogmas, okay, are in this religion was created. And as I said, nobody can have all the truth on the seventh angel come. Therefore, the conclusion is neither Hindus, neither Buddhists, nor Hebrews, nor Christians, nor Muslims, nor Baha'is have the answer, because they have a part of the elephant and say, how the elephant looks. It's the story of the five blind men and the elephant. Okay, one of them holds the hair of the elephant and says, hey, elephant, like a... The other one holds the leg and says, no, he's like a cylinder. The other one gets the trunk and says, no, he's not like a hole. You can see that all of these people have a part of the truth. So, answering your question, it is in the Bible. Okay. The coming of the seven seals is in the Bible. Actually, our teaching is based in the Bible. But the revelation, of course, is a new wine. You have to put in new skin. You can put it in old skin. It's not going to fit. Go ahead, hands up.
Yeah, you were talking about the fullness of the truth, I think you said, would not be revealed until the seventh angel. I just wanted to know what verse that was.
Is it there? It didn't know anymore.
What verse in Revelation?
The mystery of the seventh angel.
We should have just done it.
Okay. Yeah, it is in chapter 10, verse 7. If you open the book of Revelation, in chapter 10, verse 7, you find God clearly says, God is a mystery until the seventh angel comes. It means anybody before him come and say, I have the whole truth, doesn't.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets.
Okay, so did you find the verse, hands up? It's in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. It clearly says that that is how it's going to be. Only then that the mystery of God will be finished. Again, chapter 10. Okay, go ahead, hands up.
Okay, thanks. I just looked it up. It says, but in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel. So it would be the seventh angel that blows the trumpet. And it says, the mystery of God, as he announced to his servants the prophets, should be fulfilled. So that is saying that when this angel, the seventh angel, blows the trumpet, the mystery of God would be fulfilled. And I think this would be referring to probably the end of time. But I don't see why this has to be Jesus blowing the trumpet. It says that the angel is blowing the trumpet. And it says the mystery of God would be fulfilled. It didn't say that there's no such thing as truth on earth now. It just says the mystery of God would be fulfilled then. I was just kind of curious as to what your interpretation of that was. I thought maybe I might have missed it because, you know, in other parts of Scripture, it talks about truth. It talks about, this is in John 16, verse 13, talks about the Holy Spirit coming. He will guide you into all the truth. Or he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So in John 16, it talks about the Holy Spirit leading the church into all truth. And also, another verse would be 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, this is Paul talking to Timothy, and St. Paul is saying, in case that I am delayed, I am writing to you so that you will know how you want to conduct yourself in the household of God, the church of God, the pillar and the support of the truth. So we talk about the church of the living God being the pillar and the support of truth. So, I guess, how would we reconcile that with your interpretation of Revelation? I wasn't quite sure what your interpretation was. And just as a side note, I was kind of confused. You were saying that all churches have some bit of error in it, and all Scripture is just as valid, whether it be the Torah and the Bible and the Quran. But one of the prophets did contradict other prophets. Like, obviously, they can't both be right. So you end up with a situation where they're either all wrong, or maybe one of them is right, and if they're all wrong, then how can you even pick a verse out of Revelation and believe it, because maybe that person is wrong.
Okay, let me make two points first in the beginning. First of all, he used only the King Version, King James Version of the Bible. I find the one you use not King James for sure. So let's just keep one version more authentic than any other one, because that is the one, I think it was the 27th revision of Bible, and it can come after it, 29 and 30 and 31. And also, they put a lot of effort to keep that version as pure as possible. And second, the interpretation of the trumpet is the revelation come through the prophet, which is like a trumpet that calling human to wake up. You know, it's time for a new dispensation, for a new time of God's revelation. Therefore, every trumpet is the revelation with one prophet who God has sent to humanity to bring a new revelation to them. Okay? And therefore, when God says that the seven angels blow the trumpet, it means then the seventh revelation comes to humanity. Okay? And second is, we do not accept anything but the word of the prophet or the Messiah as the truth from God. So, therefore, the only part of the New Testament that we really concentrate on is the red parts that are taught directly from Christ himself, and anything else after that is either disciples or people who claim to be disciples but taught differently than Christ himself. So if you want to quote something, let's go right to the New Testament, the four Gospels, and quote from them. Anything from John, Paul, Romans, and all that, forget it. Okay? I'm not saying they don't have any truth. They have some truth in them. They have a lot of beautiful things in them, but there are a lot of things in them which is not true and never taught by Christ. So let's put some ground rules here to exactly know where he is coming from. Okay? So let's see what Christ said about all these things, and let's consider on that. But the interpretation of the trumpet is the revelation by the prophet, and there should have come seven trumpets, seven revelation, seven religion, seven seals, and the mystery of God is not finished until the seventh revelation comes. Now, how the other revelation before the seventh revelation don't have the truth? First of all, they have only one part of the truth, because they don't have the whole eternally one path. Just like that blind people who hold a part of the elephant, and he said, "Oh, I have the truth." Were they right? No, they were wrong. Okay, they did not have the whole vision. A man with an eye had to come to them and say, "Look, each of you have a part of the truth. You are right. You know, Christ was the Son of God. Christ was the Messiah. Christ was the prophet of God. He brought you the truth, but his mission, his message was sacrifice. That's why he went all the way to God. He came to open the third seal. He came actually also to release the grace to humanity, the grace that was taken away from them after the Garden of Eden. So we can see that there are parts that, you know, you might, as a Christian, I suppose you are a Christian, that you are bringing this in a matter of the acts up and as evidence, as a Christian, you believe in a lot of things which is in Acts and taught by Paul, but you quote Christ very little. Why? Why don't you just go right to the source? Why should we just stay with the disciples? Didn't say Christ said disciples never going to be, you know, as great as the Master? Didn't he taught us not to do that? Why are we still doing it? Why are we still following those that don't have the truth and God didn't choose them? That is where you have to stop and think and say, "Oh yeah, my faith is right. I should go back to the source, to Christ. Especially those red parts in the Bible, okay?
That is where the truth is, and Christ directly brought it to you from God. Okay? Don't listen to the disciples. Don't even listen to my disciples. Okay? I love them, they're good and beautiful. No, they say a lot of truth. But come to my sanctum, if they say something that doesn't make sense, come here and ask me directly, let me clarify for you. Okay? So, let's see what is the exact word of God is. What did Christ taught himself? Let's go to that source. Let's go to the Messiah. Let's go to the prophet himself. Okay? So, if we can stay in this room, you know, we can see that, you know, also you have to test the spirit. God has prophesied. All the prophecies are good. Go to our website, see how many prophecies. I didn't find them. And other people can find it for us. Okay? And that prophecies are fulfilled. You know, so our claim is not based on an egoistical trip of I'm my father, I'm this, I'm that. It's based on the scripture, and based on the revelation, and based on the prophecies. So it is wonderful that you have the question, you have the searching mind. That is great. Everybody should accept it and anything for themselves by realizing this is the truth. This is the only way. No one goes to the Father but to me. So, if you get that one, you realize that the only way on earth right now is to come to the Messiah, realizing that all reasons come from the same God and what each of them had for humanity. Then put them all together, then you say, wow, God, I love you. I know that you exist for sure. Because 99% of the people really don't believe God exists. They just try to their dogmas, but in their heart, don't really know God. But if you come to the mission and realize he did all these things, he said he's going to do all these things, and he did it. Intellectually, at least, you would say, oh yeah, he should exist then, for sure. Okay? And if he exists, he will bring his kingdom up and on earth, no matter how much opposition he's doing or how much craziness going to this earth. And we can see that tribulation have already started. Probably this good time to reach the humanity to this wonderful Savior that God created for us, and let them know you have an option, human. You have an option. Okay, you can go ahead and kill yourself. I'm so sorry to say they might even do that before they realize this wording, because they're not open to listen to it right now. So the truth is that there is seven revelations sent by God. And only you will see the whole truth if you realize all of them. So we can see that coming of this revelation is prophesied. No one has the teaching. They have only part of the truth. Nobody can claim that they have the truth. But Christ was right. And he said, I'm the only way, the truth, and the life. He was correct. Absolutely. In that time, in that revelation, he was the way. He was the truth. Okay? And he was correct. And Prophet Muhammad said, listen to me. Whenever he says it, my word, God said to him, he was correct, he was the truth. But that same time, Prophet Muhammad later in some verses said, I didn't give you everything. Okay? There's a lot much more in the whole tablet that I didn't reveal to you. But if I didn't reveal to you, how he can be the last prophet? Okay? He can. Okay. If Christ says, and I'm going to come back, he didn't finish all the truth yet. He's going to come back and say more thing about the thing he hasn't said. Okay. Maybe I've done it completely, why did he come back? That's it, finished. Okay. So we can see that it is right in the Bible, it is right in the Revelation, it is right in the description. It is the Word of God, that's going to be seven revelations come to humanity. You have to accept each other, you have no choice. Okay, go ahead and destroy each other and have fight. We're going to sit here and wait for you until you guys see that is not the way. The way is the way of God. The way is the unification. The way is the unification of all the religions of the world sent from the same, resource. Okay, well, I know you have asked question about what is satsang. Satsang means good company, and good company means the people who come together talk about God. Anything, as Christ said, if it's not about God, just say yeah, yeah, and nay, nay. That's all necessary. The rest, is idle talk, and idle talk is not good for the spiritual progress. So
refrain from my respect. But they're coming together and talking about God, God's revelation, God's speeches, God's, you know, words and laws and everything that He has given to us, that's called satsang. Satsang is when, you know, the person who's connected to God and comes and talks to people, that's what also means God talks. God talks to humanity, to the person who is choosing God's word. So, satsang is a Sanskrit name, means to company, or God talks. The closest thing you can come to the, in English is conference room. So the whole conference room is not always about God. That's why, you know, we choose the word satsang for our conferences like this to reflect, we don't talk about God, we don't talk about the scripture. We can talk about the you know, eternal divine path, our revelation, and all that. So satsang is the gathering of people who will talk about the mission, seven seal, the revelation of God, and they realize that coming of the seventh angel was necessary, is necessary, unification of humanity is needed, we have to start sharing with each other. No, those who have more have to give to those who have less. It is not a good real thing, it is a law. That those who have more have to help those who have less. It is not something, I am a good person, I give, I am a child, give a little people. It is the law that who has more to have to help those who are less. So if you do that, and it's not a favor to people who don't have much. The people who have much, if the people who do not have much, will prevent the violence we can see on earth. So it's not you are doing the favor to those who do not have violence, but that's the law of the universe. The law of the universe is always working toward balance. If you have the water high and you have the water low, and you connect them together, what happens? The high water goes the one has less and it becomes balanced. It's impossible in this universe to have too much, you know, inequity. And that is why this is the law of the universe. If you want a peace on earth, that is the way to do it. You have to bring the humanity to a more level position on earth. Then we can see that humanity will not have as much, you know, destructive forces that is on earth right now. So humanity have to stop being too materialistic, start listening to God and the laws of the universe, which one of them is balance. He doesn't say that everybody should be poor, but not a lot of poor people living with a miserable life, and you know, some people have been in the kingdom of God, so it just doesn't make sense. So, satsang is coming in and listening. What's laza? What's the root? What's karma? So when you do something bad, it's connected with you. Okay? It says the Bible even says you reap what you sow. That's the law of karma right there. We have some new people in the room. We are going to explain the great sign, greatest sign again, and the eternal divine path. You are in the mission of my prayer room. We are teaching the seven seals. It is open. The revelation has been come to humanity. The religions are unified. The revelations are as seven seals that God has set to send to humanity. The best seal is the Arigna Prasthish, of course, the mystical path, just like Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, mystical Christians and Sufis and people who meditate and follow the know thyself to know God. If you don't know yourself, you cannot know God, because who is God and you are one. If you know yourself, you know God, as simple as that. So that is the mystical path, all the mystical path. The second seal is the Old Testament or Hebrews teachings that are based on the comings of life. That when you have ignorance of forces, but we join it in the communities, it's based on God, and we can do satsang every night in the coming of life and talk about God, and so you always glowing in His grace all the time. So, Krishna, the coming of life, helps you in many, many aspects in human life, and that is the goal after awakening or trying to awaken the spiritual process. And then surrender, sacrifice in the community. That means that you're not self-centered. Not whatever this is for me all the time, but what is best for the community and how I can help the community. Therefore, that is that covers the Judaism and the self. If you have a community and you always say what is for me, it's not going to go anywhere. Therefore, sacrifice is the Savior, and that is what the Christianity or Christ taught to humanity. He went all the way to the cross for his ideal, which, you know, he eventually brought to humanity. And of course, if you do a lot of good things and if things are happening, you become attached to the result of your action. It's a wonderful job I am doing. And then, you know, of course, you call your ego comes in and you call. If you're not doing a lot and it's not going to happen, you think, you know, why it's not happening, you become discouraged. Either way, you know, your ego is involved in it and you cannot progress. Therefore, the fourth seed comes surrender and submission to God. Means you do the job and surrender the result to God. And say, you know, God, I did my part, but I'm not attaching the result. Better than that is submission to God. Means God is always doing it through me and I ask for. Because you know, God always does perfect. If you do something which is not perfect, is it God doing it through you? You can say, he did it through me, but really he didn't. Because what happened wasn't perfect. So you have to let God come to you. You have to become, you know, knowing that you have to, you know, just stand up back sometimes. See why I appreciate doing things doesn't work all the time with perfection. Why is it that am I pushy about the thing I want to be done? So I can just stand up sometimes and say, let other people do it and I just watch to see how it works better and learn from it. Okay. So that is then, you know, God. If God comes through you, you do perfect job. And that is the Islam. And the third one is, with all your progress, with all your work, if you are not universalist, you become now in mind and connected with one, a small community, a small religion, a small country, a small continent. So you become now in of the mind. And now in of the mind is the root problem on human existence from the beginning of history to this time, because everybody wants to protect their own little interests and their little part of the world, their little visions, instead of standing themselves. It's one God, one humanity, okay, and one earth, so we can share and solve the problem we have. So that is the universalism, is the Baha'i teaching. So we can see with this first five steps, we unified all the mystical visions of the world. Which means Buddhism, Hinduism, Kabbalah, all the saints of Christianity, Sufis. They also unified Hebrews, the Old Testament, which is based on the concept of life, Christianity, and Islam, and Baha'is. Now we covered around 3 to 4 billion people on earth, more than half. If we can convert 10% of the humanity to the meditation, we will be able to establish God's kingdom on earth. That 10% what drop in the bucket, you know, 10% of the 6 billion is what? 600 million? That's not too much. Pretty, you know, pretty good number, but still, with all this technology God gave us, you know, we will be able to shut up. You know, we can reach, sit here and reach the whole humanity actually, and invite them to come over and eventually, little by little, you know, we have more people to join us. So, you can see, just people who go through the first five steps of the eternal one time, awaken us this project, meditate, become more sensitive to the will of God, create comings of life that is worth toward it, sacrifice for it, surrender service. Concerning service to the will of God and becoming a universalist, you become an elect. That is what the scripture was talking about. My elect, God, whose love is elect to the highest. So that is the sixth seal. And his elect are the people who will guide humanity to the next step and will help everybody reach true consciousness. So you can see the indication of the vision is here. Prophecies are fulfilled. We have the answer to the problems of humanity. And we are reaching out to everyone to come to see, to test their spirit, and eventually to claim, yes, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy, and I want to be a part of it. And I want to come. I want to be one of those 600 million people that will actually underfoot 4,000 that will be the most dynamic being.